You want to start?
Okay, I'm Elaine. I live in Bridge of Allen. I'm a teacher at St Ninian's Primary School in Stirling.
I'm Duncan. I live in Bridge of Allen too, but I was born in St Ninian's, which is about 2 miles away, and I've lived here all my life.
I'm Katrina. I live in Thornhill, which is 10 miles from Stirling, but I've taught in Stirling for about 16 years.
I'm Sandra, and I'm born in Stirling, always stayed in Stirling except for 4 years when I stayed in Linlithgow when I first got married. And I'm the admin at St Ninian's Primary.
Great, super. Now, you were speaking earlier about what words you had for things, and you gave me a really good one, Sandra, for to hit?
To thump somebody.
Yeah.
Or to scalp them. Or as my kids said, to give them a kicking.
Is that pretty violent?
It sounds pretty violent, yeah, I would say so. Mm-hmm. Or you could belt them or batter them. Used to get a battering when I was at school. If you looked at somebody the wrong way, they would say, I'll batter you. I'll get you after school.
You must have heard that in school as well, didn't you?
I've heard that, but when I was wee, I was always threatened by a leathering. You'll get a leathering, you know. And often it happened, you know. I got many a leathering, you know. But I, and what about the school? A thumping. Mm-hmm. And a blutering. I know, I'll blutter you. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll blutter you. Yeah, I've heard the kids say that, you know.
Yeah.
Aye.
Sometimes you get a thumping just in case you're thinking about being bad as well.
That's it.
That's what I used to get.
A belt on the ear. A scalp on the ear, or a clip on the ear, or a...
Scalp is the one that I would use, but I've heard of scalped leathering, which brings in your one as well.
Yeah.
Scalped and leathered at the same time.
Leather.
Yeah.
Or a scud on the log. A scalp on the ear, a scud on the log.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that one before.
Oh, aye. A scud. That came in with a scud came in with the war in
the Gulf War.
The Gulf War, the Scud missile. I remember that right away because I remember it just coming right in the classroom, getting a scudding. Yeah.
No, it predates that by a long way. Yeah, Scud is a lot longer than that. I wouldn't be surprised if a Scud missile was called after a Scud in Scotland.
Maybe you might have been used, Duncan.
Oh, what, 1940s? You got a scud.
Go back as far as that.
Yeah, oh, I certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Certainly.
Gosh. What about the other ones in that section? To throw something. What about
that? We would say to chuck something. Mm. Chuck that in the bin.
That's what I said as well. Very same thing. Chuck it. Mm-hmm. And the kids said that as well.
And I would say hurl. I would hurl it. I think that, and I think I've heard the kids say hurl as well.
Would you hurl something different? Would you hurl some things and chuck others, depending on what the item was?
I would go for a hurl in a car, you know, I would. But I would also, I think it could be used the same as chuck or fling.
Fling. When I would have said yes, fling, yeah, fling or
fling
chuck,
yeah.
Rather than hurl. But there you are, you go for a hurl in a car, don't you?
I do.
You can also chuck a wobbly. When you lose the place, mm-hmm. Fair the children talk about chucking a wobbly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. What about to play truant? That's something nobody ever did here, I'm sure.
Oh, no.
Never did.
You might have heard of it.
I would skive. And the Waynes would skive, wouldn't they, at the school? Aye, I'd skive.
Well, nowadays, the Waynes would say they're dogging it.
Aye, yeah.
That's their latest. When I was at school, you were plugging it or bunking off.
That's right.
Yeah. Bunk I've heard is I would think it's a modern one. We used to plug.
Yeah.
Well, at least I didn't, but some people used to plug.
Not if you were ducks, you wouldn't.
No,
plug.
You would definitely not. Plug the school.
Any stories about plugging or skiving or hearing about what got up to you when you were doing it?
Right, any of the schools, think about it.
I only personally once skived, and I was so worried about it that when my gran came in to visit my sister, who was sick, I hid in the wardrobe, so I'd have been as well going to school. It was the last day of term, and I thought my sister was ill. It wasn't very fair that she wasn't going to school and she'd have to go. So I spent most of the day in the wardrobe. It was a total waste of time. To be as well at school.
That's what we're saying. I was interviewing in Grangeworth this morning. We said the same thing. They'd be in as well too. They'd have missed too much of it.
Yeah. You also see skive when you're being lazy, when you're not getting on with something. Somebody's skiving, they're hiding, or just not knuckling down to their work, they're skiving.
That's an old, I think, RAF wartime slang word, a skiver.
Is it?
It's not a modern.
You have to do with your work.
You would say you were skiving off if you weren't well.
That's right.
There's a lot of words. We were speaking about this afternoon, like it's a clobber. I shouldn't have said them because it's robbing them for you. I'll go through it first and then I'll say it as it occurs to me. To sleep.
You see, I've not done my homework, you know. Over to Katrina. How do you
nod off? You just nod off or go to your kip. But my friend Mima, she talks about going to her purr. Or she's going purring. She's going for a sleep.
That's nice.
Yeah. That was a new one to me. I just heard that one last night, to go for her purr.
Mine is pure still, and she should have been here, actually, you know. But that's good. That'll be right enough. She's been here for 60 years, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Spot on. Mm-hmm. Aye. I don't know about sleeping.
If I ever fall asleep watching telly or something like that, then the kids say, oh, Mum, you're sleeping. And I would say, I'm not. I'm watching the back of my eyelids. And that's what I say. Or I'm looking at the back of my eyelids.
Duncan, were you being the doctor? No, you never had a chance for a nap, did you?
Don't know any real Scots words for that. It would be catching 40 winks or something like that would be the slang for sleeping. Mm-hmm. Can't think of any other term.
Mm-hmm. Cat nap or snooze or
doze. Snooze maybe, yeah. Snooze or doze.
It's not even English words, no.
Dawson or something like that.
No, cat nap.
It doesn't have to be Scots words.
All right.
Just whatever you or your family or your friends would naturally use. And then anything else you want to throw in that you're fond of, you know.
Aye.
A bit of our thing. But just the natural stuff, really.
Aye. I would snooze then.
I'll just say a couple of wee things. First of all, just watch for speaking over the top of one another because it makes it difficult to edit for me. And also, just watch your papers too. Something's a wee bit scuffly.
Yep.
Right, but I'll let you know if it's
possible. I'll try and put it down there.
Okay. What about to play a game?
We would just say play. I can't think of any other word rather than play.
Kick about.
If it was talking about football, let's go out for a kick about. And that was about it. I couldn't think of anything else. Play.
The only thing I thought of was the kids play when they play football, and there's not that many of them. They say we play any manny, and Andy can be in goal, and it's great to hear, you know, the girls and Hannah and all that saying we're playing any manny. But that's the only one I could think of, you know.
That's a nice one,
yeah. Can't think of any other word than just play.
People,
that's what we used to do. We used to play.
Well, people came to your door and said, "Are you coming out?
Aye, coming out to play.
Coming out to play." And that was
a lot of folk just
coming out.
Word for that. I think we're doing all that one's new. What about left-handed?
Corrie-fisted.
Corrie.
Corrie-fisted is left-handed. Yeah. Although my mother just says awkward.
My mother used to say carry-handed, which is, I suppose, a polite version of Corrie.
Yeah.
Corrie-fisted. No more.
Yeah, Corrie-fisted. And that was from my mother-in-law as well, and she come from Cumbernauld.
So. Somebody was telling me this afternoon in Grangemouth that they reckoned it had come from a derivation of the Kerr family who lived in the new town in Edinburgh.
Right.
And they had their castle or their home bigot with spiral staircases that could suit a left-hander, so they could defend their,
That's interesting.
Their house with their left hand. So Kerr became Corrie-fisted.
Corrie-fisted.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know
if
that's true
in
that, or just folk.
I've got a vague memory of hearing that before as well.
Yeah.
It's certainly true that the spiral staircase was the opposite direction from normal, so they could defend it easily.
Unattractive.
Well, if someone was very unattractive, they would be Hackett.
It's a good word.
Minging. Minging. I can't think of any other repeatable words.
You're allowed to say unrepeatables.
Is that what you'd say naturally?
No, I've not got anything like that, but I've got ugly and minging and gawkit. And as the kids say nowadays, he's a dog or she's a dog. So I guess dogs are unattractive for some.
And I would say plug. But there was a good one the other night. Alice, my daughter's in a flat, she's a student. And one of our flatmates, a guy, came in and he was absolutely plastered at 3 o'clock in the morning. And he was, like, knocking at our door. Alice, let me in. And she let him in. And she said, what is it? And he said, I don't know if this is a Scots word or not, but he says, I've been followed home by a munter. Have you heard that one? A munter. And Alice said, what's a munter? And he says, oh, it's an ugly woman that you didn't fancy. You know, he's wanting to go with you, you know. So I like that, munter.
That's a new one on me.
Yeah.
I think hackett is another word that would be used. Somebody who's unattractive. Oh, he or she is. Hack it.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's a great one.
What
about the opposite of that? Attractive.
Stoater. Nothing else. Just a stoater.
Great, isn't it? Well, I've got bro or a stunner or a hunk if it was a man.
I'd say bro.
Yeah, he's a real stunner or she's a real stunner.
Because we don't really have that word, like on the East Coast, that same stoter word.
Yeah. Or just alright, bit of alright. He's a bit of alright.
What about lacking money?
Skint. Someone's got no money, skint.
Skint.
Yeah. I'd be skint. But John's granny used to say, which is, I'm afraid, the opposite of skint, but she used to say, he was laughing like a pooch and pie day. And I like that one. You know? Laughing like a pooch and pie day.
That is a good one. Like a dog on a pie day. Mm-hmm. That's great. Any words for lacking money? Not in the Bridge of Allen.
I know, there's not as much here. You know, I use the cat's name, Snooty. Our cat's called Snooty because she's got a funny snoot. And that, not long ago, a call centre phoned me up for something and I had to use my password and I said, it's Snooty. And it was a call centre down in London or somewhere. But the guy said to me, oh, is that because of your neighbours in Bridge of Allen? And actually, he was from Stirling. And I said, no, we're not Snooty here. But yeah. Bridge of Allen, you know.
That's good. Any other words for lack of money? Just skint on that. What about the opposite of that? Having lots of money.
Well-heeled. Very Bridge of Allen.
Rolling.
Rolling in it.
Oh, I've got rolling in it. Or loaded. Look at him, he's loaded. Ooh.
Good.
My granny would talk about swells. People with lots of money, because they're always well dressed. Were swells.
Mm. That's interesting. I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
Why was your granny
favourite? She was actually from the islands. So she's actually a native Gaelic speaker. Didn't really speak English till she grew up. That's what she talked about as well.
The toffs.
Yeah.
Although they didn't necessarily have money, but people always thought they had. Mm-hmm. People you thought were well off, you'd call them the toffs.
What about drunk? That's been drunk.
Guttered. Absolutely guttered. Or bloated.
There's only one word for it. Foo.
Popular
well, I've got bevied, and I've got gassed, and pissed, and stoicious.
That's a good range. You've been thinking about that one.
Not that I drink, no. It sounds like that. yeah, that's about all that I've got written down.
That's great. Very good. Pregnant.
Expecting. That was all I could think. She's expecting.
It's nice and polite, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of any else other than just saying someone was pregnant.
Up the chute.
Up the chute.
Oh, just up the chute.
Would you ever think of being in the family way?
I don't think we would ever use that term at all, in the family way, no. Expecting, probably.
In the club. Bun in the oven. I think what else?
But you wouldn't say to somebody, oh, you've got a bun in the oven there.
No. Oh, you're expecting. I don't know what else you would say.
Any other words for pregnant?
Pregnant.
Only bun in the oven. I wouldn't use it now, but that's the only one I could think of. Up the stick.
Up the stick. Oh, that was like you said, up the chute.
It's funny because my pals down in London, if they're pregnant, a couple of them have said, I'm up the duff.
Uh-huh.
No, they tell folk. That's how they tell folk at work.
That they're pregnant. I was thinking of actually our absent friend who's pregnant, and she's a big girl, and she's, you know, right from the early on she was big, and somebody said to her, "Are you carrying twins?" And she said, "No, my father says it's a big single, because she's from a farm, you know, you know when the cows have got a big single." And she'd have been great here tonight, but she's just no wheel, you know.
She's just having a big single.
She's
okay. Words for insane.
daft. Someone's nuts. Just daft. He's daft.
I've got nuts, or you've got a screw loose, or you would go, he's cuckoo.
That's a good list.
And I'd say gleek it, or a gleek, you know, a noun. He's a gleek. And I'd say near right, because I was at university in Aberdeen, so near right, you know. And know the full shilling. Or I'd say, I've got a lot of words for this, obviously. He's got a tile off, you know, or have a sandwich shot or a picnic or any of that sort of stuff, you know.
Used to refer to the hospital, they were in and where are you for Bell's Dyke?
That's right.
Didn't you?
Or like, or Ward Theatre.
Yeah. Afi's Heed, I think, is the other one. He's Afi's Heed.
There's wiser eating grass.
Really?
I don't know where that comes from, but there's wiser eating grass.
Just out for the day. You're out for the day. Out from where, I don't know.
I've heard there's wiser on the Inverness Road because Craig Dunne in the mental hospital was on the road into the town. So there's...
And in this district, there's wiser folk in Larbert,
that's where
which was the
close.
Local
yeah.
asylum.
Yeah. Oh. Of course. What about Moody? Any Moody folk you need to put up here?
Huffy. Huffy. Or as my mum said, Jennifer. That's my daughter. Says she, can you think of a word for Moody? She says, aye, Jennifer. I said, no, that's no.
Teenagers. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And when my kids were wee, they used to take the studies, because that's a word of my father's, you know, so that was good. You know, when they were in the huff, they've taken the studies.
What does that mean? Though?
I have no idea. But, you know, it's like, I'm in the huff and I'm no speaking, and, you know.
Take the strunts. I've heard that one.
Take
yeah.
the strunts is an old Scottish one. That comes up in W.D. Cocker's poems, which 1930s. Take the strunts. Mm.
Do you know any of the poems with that in,
Duncan? I know some W.D. Cocker poems, but the particular one about the strunts was, I think, I don't have that one off by heart. I don't.
We would talk about the sitting room or the living room, but my mother said she used to say through the parlour, Ben the parlour. It was just the sitting room now.
Ben the house was the room where the visitors were entertained, as opposed to the living room, which was the kitchen, really.
I wouldn't say it, but I've heard it said through the house, but we call the front room the livy, and we call the main room the extension, because there's so
is
many extensions.
So
so, but and this is the livy. We're in the livy.
That's good. So that's your family one, is it? Or
A friend who's from Dumfries came into our new house in Castle Douglas, and she's got away with words, but she just said, "And this is the livy," and we've used it ever since because I just like it so much.
Yeah, I would just say living room or the front room, but nothing else.
But apparently in the old tenements, everything happened in the kitchen. You just had the kitchen with all
yes.
The scullery.
Was, and then the scullery happened with the kitchen cooking stuff in it.
Sorry. Yes, and the other room was for entertaining the minister if he ever came. Mm-hmm.
There's the high days and holidays.
My mum entertained them in the bedroom the other day because the kids were in. She says, I just took them into the bedroom. No, no.
We never, ever, ever used the word lounge. That was never,
never
used.
Use it.
No, the lounge.
Let's go to the lounge.
That's a posh word. Your lounge.
I've never heard anyone use the word lounge except an Australian friend who called it the lounge room. But never heard the word lounge used by anybody.
Okay, what about the seat we sit on? The long, soft seat in the living room?
The couch.
It would be the couch. It would be the couch, yes. Nothing else. Not the sofa.
No,
but
sofas.
Nor the chaise longue, but
no.
The couch.
Sofa's what
posh people would say. sofa. Was that what you say, Elaine?
Oh, God, a couch.
The couch is what I would say as well. Because it's nice to be a couch potato.
Couch, definitely.
We always say the couch, but I'm sure we used to say sofa when I was younger. But it's the couch now. It's always the couch.
City,
that's another
one.
City, I've heard of that. Yeah.
It's a nice old one.
Yeah. Older field,
yeah. What about the
main
running water smaller than a river?
That has to be a burn. You always played in the burn when you were wee.
Yeah, only the burn.
The burn.
Yeah, the burn as well.
That's anonymous. Okay. Narrow walkway between or alongside buildings.
The pavement. Or a vennel. I would use a vennel, because there's a vennel in Stirling, and also I'm from the Dumfries area, and there's a famous vennel. So I would say vennel, as well as pavement.
Well, I was stuck at that one, and I said at first an alley, up the alley. And then I asked my husband, and he says, well, that's a close. And I said, no, a close is inside the building. It's not alongside it. Yeah. So
no, we would say the close, like when you went in between the barn and the cattle shed at the farm, that was the close. Just because it was a narrow passage, so that was in the close.
We might have called it a lane if it was between buildings, although a lane is more often in the countryside.
What about
pen?
Yes, pen in Stirling. There's a pen in Stirling where the Summers the joiner is.
That's correct.
He's the undertaker. Yes. That's up the pen. And there's like a greengrocer's there now as well.
What do you call undertaker? Did you say the
Summers.
Undery?
Summer's the Undertaker.
Undertaker.
Oh, I thought you said the Undertaker.
Because in Burnt Island, the graveyard is the gravy. And the Wains all play in the gravy. They do, really, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was once in Arbroath, and I was lost. And I asked a woman the way, and she said, you ging out that pendy. So, you know, I've heard it. But I wouldn't use it here.
The pen. I've used the word pen, but I always understood that it was a cul-de-sac, you know, had a dead end. It wasn't a throughway.
You can't get a better end than the Undertakers.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And the toilet is a nice one usually.
Well, kludgy is the word that when children hear it, they all use it for weeks on end. They like the sound of kludgy. It's not a word I would ever use now, but I'm sure I did as a child.
As a child, it was always the lavvy.
I use lavvy because when it was you and non-you, do you remember these days there was something published and you was loo, and I thought, never will I use that. So always the lavvy.
What do you and non-you?
It's before your time. Yeah. Do you remember it? Yes, John, yes. Do you remember it?
Well,
it was like,
loo.
Oh, well, that'll need to stop.
I'm going to the loo.
Well, you see, you've not been into the you and non-you. That's okay. Well, it was published. John was speaking about it the other day, but it was like the middle classes, and there were things like in your lifestyle, like your car, your house, what you ate, where you went, your holidays were you or non-you. So some like Scarborough might be non-you, but Sorrento would be you, and a Volvo would be you, but a Honda, which we've got, would be non-you. You see, and loo was you, and lavvy. Well, they hadn't heard of lavvy, but it would be non-you. I can assure you.
Interesting. So was this like this thing
about
50 when was it that was published?
Oh, this must have been 10 years ago.
Really?
Some more than that, or I thought it was the 80s anyway.
Was it? Yeah. Maybe 80s, yeah. John will remember.
Gosh, that's really interesting. Yeah. What else? To rain heavily.
Pouring, bucketing, raining cats and dogs.
Dogs.
I'd say it was lashing or coming down like stair rods, you know.
Or chucking it down. If it's really heavy, it's chucking it down. Mm-hmm. Back to throwing, chucking it.
Yeah. Stoating, really. Or plunking. Plunking it down.
My mum always speaks about it. I think it's a really evocative word, a big plump of rain coming.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Great platch in the sky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You say pissing down.
Heard that before.
I've said it.
Have you?
I have, pissing down.
Pissing
and
down
my mother used to talk about a thunder plump. Yeah.
Oh, on this series about weather on the TV, and Matthew Fitch, the super language guy, came on and he gave all these words for rain and fresh dogs. And I'm like, good pishoot.
We should start with that, Matthew. That's great.
That's right. My mother told this story of being on a bus from Falkirk to St Ninian's, and there was a very posh family getting off. They'd been overhearing them talking very posh. And as they were getting off, the wee girl said, "Oh, Mummy, look, it's absolutely pishing off rain."
What would the opposite of that be? Because it rains really lightly.
Smir, I think. Mm-hmm. It's smirring.
Just a drizzle, a slight drizzle, a smir of rain. And if it was that really fine stuff, or it wasn't quite rain, and you call it dreich. Mm-hmm. That's a really descriptive word, dreich.
Of course, in the Shetlands, they've got about 35 different words for rain, haven't they?
Possibly. I don't think we need
to. Or is it snow?
It's spitting rain or drizzle. Or I call it sheep's rain, but I don't know why I call it sheep's rain. It's that wee sheep's rain. It soaks you and it's wee tiny.
That's nice. Is that your own, do you think?
Oh, it must be. I don't know. Nobody else has ever heard of it.
You've been in that wee room sheep by rain. Yourself, haven't you?
Well, wee sheep.
On your own. I would use smirren, or what was the other one I was going to say? I'm sure somebody else said it. Spitting or dreich.
Excellent. I remember. Is that all that ones, I think? Yeah. Baby.
Talk about the bairn or the wean. What are the weans doing? Or kids, which is quite common.
At the school, Katrina, what would you say?
Probably kids. Talk about the kids.
Not so polite.
If I was being, it depends who I was talking to. I would say the children.
I've got a Wayne, baby. Just use baby. Or my mother-in-law said earlier, a wee babby. Look at the wee babby. So that's all.
I would say Wayne. At school we say kids. Although when I used to teach, we said Wayne. So you just say what people say. And I often. Peggy, who's not here tonight, would say a sonsy wee baby, you know, because you know that sonsy sort of face that wee babies have in their pram. So that's...
Explain sonsy.
Sonsy's plump and well fed and kind of cheery and red faced, you know. You know these kind of babies you get. I don't know. You know, a face the size of a dinner plate, you know.
That's right. Aye. Robert Burns, fair fought, you're honest. Sonsy face.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Any words to the air?
Just Wayne, really. Kids would be a bit older. Kids would be school age. A Wayne would be in its pram.
Come from Falkirk,
Bairn. Bairn's
in Falkirk, yeah. Tell us about that.
Oh, I don't know very much about it.
Are you?
What, Falkirk Bairns? Is that not what the football team's called? Falkirk Bairns. That's their nickname. I don't know anything else about it.
Somebody was telling me this morning something about better playing the deal than...
The Bairns of Falkirk.
Yeah.
That's right.
No,
yes.
If you were in Stirling, if you were born in Stirling, you were a
son of the rock. But you only had to be born on the Castle Hill to be a son of the rock or a daughter of the rock.
Say that again.
If you were born in Stirling, you were a son of the rock for like males, or you were a daughter of the rock for females. But you had to be born on the Castle Hill, not from anywhere else in Stirling. You had to be born on the Castle Hill.
And what did it mean if you were born?
Well, it just meant you were a true Stirling person. As far as I know, anyway.
And would you have like a special status if you were a son of the rock or a daughter of the rock?
I don't know. It's just a saying that they had. No, you were a son.
It's a saying, probably from the time when Stirling was just
the hill.
You know, the houses on the rock, but obviously it's spread pretty far and wide now, and the number of people that are actually born on the rock would be very small, because most of them are born in the infirmary, which is outside, or in all these earthy castle, which is even the Bridge of Ellen.
That's right. My grandpa was
born on the Castle Hill. He was a son of the rock. So that's probably how it's in my head, you know. He always had a lot of stories to tell.
That's good.
Well, there was a great upset in Falkirk when the maternity unit was moved from Falkirk to Stirling Royal Infirmary, because henceforth there wouldn't be any bairns. They would all be born in Stirling. Mm. And that caused a great deal of resentment in the Falkirk area.
In seriousness, yeah?
Oh, yes.
When did that happen, Falkirk?
Just within the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
In Linlithgow, when we stayed in Linlithgow, I think if you were born in Linlithgow, I can't remember if it's the right name or not, but you were like a black bitch or something like that was the saying, wasn't it? Yeah, that if you were born there.
And just
whether that's what they call the babies.
And just in case no one tells you, if you're from Gala Shields, you're a pale merc.
Yes.
You know about that?
Yes.
Because they don't call themselves that. But my friend along the road, Alison's from Melrose, and a pale merc, well, they didn't have toilets, so they sat in a pail. Uh-huh. And their backsides have got pale mercs on them. So just in case no one else tells you.
Is Gala pretty rough then?
I'm not from the borders, but I think maybe it is. But anyway, they're pale mercs.
It was probably just a term of derision given to them by their neighbouring villages. Yeah. He's got the merc of the pale on him.
Young person in cheap trendy clothes and jewellery.
I couldn't think of anything to describe someone like that. Just a teenager.
They're all the same.
I just couldn't think of any other term than the young person in cheap trendy clothes and jewellery. Really.
And I'd call them Neds, but they wear expensive trendy clothes, you know. But boys, and you get girl Neds and boy Neds, and it's completely politically incorrect for a teacher to say that, but
yeah,
I'd call them Neds.
That stands for something now, Neds.
Non-educated. Non-educated delinquent. Which is terrible. Cut that.
A Ned
would, I mean, it would vary over the years, but I mean, they've been around, I mean, since I was a kid, and my father was in the police. Aye. And he talked about the Neds all these years ago, and I mean, the behaviour is essentially the same, but the garments change over the years. So currently, I would say probably something from Burberry somewhere upon their person.
Not made by Burberry.
But maybe not made by Burberry. And something to do with trainers. I don't know what the current trainers are. And it used to be a white sort of shell suit. I don't know, you know. And bling. They would wear bling.
What is bling?
As in, you know.
Sparkly jewellery.
Sparkly, big jewellery, you know, off MTV, you know, which my kids have been brought up on, I'm sorry to say. So, plenty bling.
Oh, well, I say to my daughter that she looks like a wee mink when she dresses up. Or I was asking the kids before I came here, and I said, what would you call somebody like that? And they said, a cheapskate. That's what they would call that kind of person.
Even slapper or tart.
Well, I said, what about a wee tart? And yeah, that was one of the ones that came in.
And slapper. Yes, John says slapper. And trash with cash. You know, and what is it? What's that one in the sun? Scum in the sun. I mean, I only heard it the other day, but I heard one of the kids saying it, you know, so there it is, not one of mine, but you know.
You all right, Katrina?
Yeah, okay.
That's
okay.
What about female partner?
Well, if it was a long-term partner who lived together, it'd be a bidey in. Still hear people talk about a bidey in. It applies more to a woman than to a man, but mainly to a woman, a bidey in.
Bidey in, or lassie. What's your lassie? Or lumber, even. But not much nowadays.
I'd say bidey in. And I was just wondering about the last one, since I know you'll edit it, because I wasn't thinking of women, but scrubber, you know, not that I use it often, but you know, scrubber.
There's
no
scrubbers here.
Oh no, heaven forfend.
Hey, girlfriend, her, she, or your hingy.
I never knew you'd come up with such stuff. You're a mine of information, Sandra.
It's just a hingy, a hanger on, or a short for thingy.
I don't know, just a hingy. That's my hingy.
What about male partner, what do you call
him? Oh, I've got boyfriend, or him. And you nod your head to the side, him. And that's all I've got for that.
Your man.
Rather husband.
Yeah. I wouldn't introduce John as my man. I would say he's my husband.
This
but
is my
I,
man. That's what people say. This is my man.
Most, a lot of people would say, this is my man.
If unmarried, it would be our fella.
Or if you were going out looking for a click, looking for a partner, we're looking for a click.
That's good,
I don't think it's used so much now, but it was quite common, going out for a click, looking for a click.
Mm-hmm, that's a nice one, yeah. My mum used to go to nightclubs and say, stand back, boys, I'm here all night.
What was it? Yeah, are you winching?
Are you winching? Well, that's a good one.
John's mother, who liked, you know, she's fan, you know, like she fancied her barra quite, you know, a wee bit, and her husband had died, and Davy Pye, an enormous docker in Burnt Island, and like the Pye sisters, they're all dead now, and they were all ginormous people, they were all identical, the males and the females of the family, and John's mother was on the bus one day, and she'd actually taken up with her first boyfriend from all these years ago, and they eventually got married, and Davy Pye got on the bus and he yelled along to, he said, "Hi Eyes, I hear you're winching," and she was beeling, you know, but you know.
What's that mean?
Yeah. Winching, well, someone once said to me, oh, that's, you know, a bit disgusting, but in actual fact I think it just means courting, you know, you're courting. Mm-hmm. Aye.
Yes, absolutely.
I would say so.
Yes, when people were going out together, now this is probably pre-Second World War, they were said to be cliquing. Clique, a hook, they had their arms, you know, they were walking arm in arm, they were cliquing.
Yeah, one like that nowadays, a lot of bother saved. Yeah. What about a kit of tools? Is that you?
I have no idea what a kit of tools is. I would just call it a kit of tools.
Toolbox, yeah. Toolbox or workbox, your workbox, depending on what tools you had in it.
Toolbox.
Yeah, if my dad was going out on a big job, he was a joiner, he would take his toolbox, but if it was a smaller job, he would take his tool bag. It would just depend how many tools he had to carry. It was just a toolbox.
And what for something whose name you've forgotten?
Oh, you see, I've not done my homework. You need to ask somebody else.
I would say, what do you call that thingy? That thingy there, or if it was a person you were talking about, you see, thingy-majig over there, if you couldn't remember their name.
It's a hard one to write down.
I know, I couldn't spell it.
Yeah, I would have said thingamy, or maybe even what's it.
What's it called?
What's it? That what's it?
My dad talks about a hoogee, if he doesn't remember a hoogee or a thingamajig. Not a thingy, but mainly a hoogee is the word he uses.
Have you ever heard of an oogie-ca-piv?
No.
Because that was a word that was used quite a lot in my young days. Something you couldn't remember. What's that? Oogie-ca-piv. Why, I do not know.
I was a side folk in Perth yesterday that were saying, yeah, oogie-ca-puffle or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's more hassle to say that than to say the word, isn't it?
That's right.
And sometimes you get through sentences and you think, oh, you can thing me that has this such and such and the what's your mother?
And the what's it?
Thingy my bob. Thingy my bob.
As well as the person thingy my bob over there.
A nice pronunciation. Grandfather.
Grandpa. That's all. Grandpa, granddad.
Grandpa.
Nice. Grandpa, even.
I had a papa. My grandfather died before I was born. My grandfather, my papa, died when I was six. So I've only got good memories. And when I was young, I always thought a papa was something superior to a grandfather. I thought, oh, he was always a little bit better if he was a papa.
That's interesting. Mm. That's nice. And nowadays, of course, folk sometimes want to be known as Nan or Pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nana and a papa was my dad's mum and dad, and then I had my granny and grandpa was my mum's mum and dad. But I don't know why they were different.
Sometimes even just to distinguish between the two.
Yeah.
It's clear who you're talking about. What about grandmother?
Nanny.
It would be grandma. But I know of one family who call theirs Gaggy. Because that was what the only thing the kids were able to say when they were very small, so the name stuck.
I've heard someone call their grandfather Gaga, but I would just use Granny.
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 Yeah, Granny is what I would use as well. Or as I say, I had a Nana. My Nana was always more well put on than my Granny. So maybe that was... She always wore a hat and everything, you know. Liked to get washed and to go up the town and things. So, and, just more...
Skeet.
Yeah, I don't know what you would call it.
My nephews called my grandmother Gran-Gran, because it's very confusing, two grannies, so my mother was their granny and my grandmother was Gran-Gran, and the name stuck. It was the first one that said that, and the name just stuck, so she was Gran-Gran all the time.
That would make you feel...
And everyone called her Gran-Gran, you know, the whole village called her Gran-Gran. By the time she died, it was really...
Days for things like Monday was washing day, and you always got to set things for your dinner on, you know, like different days, sort of thing, you know.
That's certainly true, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really. I can't think just now what they were, but like Saturday, you got mince and tatties for your lunch on a Saturday, and well, you always got a roast on a Sunday, and then you got the bit that was left over on the Monday, but you got a fry up for your tea on the Monday, you got bacon and eggs. Then it was just different days, and it was different days that you did things as well, you know, like washing on a Monday, you went to town on a Tuesday, and there was old men's club on the Wednesday, and just different things like that, you know. It's quite...
Yeah, definitely true.
Don't
you, you've got similar experiences like that?
Oh, yes. Monday was always washing day. And when my father came in on a Friday, he used to say, oh, fish. Must be Friday, it's fish today.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that, you're fishing a Friday.
That's right.
And we had fish on a Friday. And I can remember on a Monday, wash day, and it all had to be washed, dried, ironed and put away.
Oh, yes.
And so that was fine if you could hang it out. But otherwise, there was this ancient clothes horse that was right around the fire, and the place was full of steam, you know, and the dog was lying under it, you know, and we had a pulley as well. I've still got a pulley. I couldn't live without one, you know, to do the washing. Yeah.
I think the fish on a Friday is a Catholic thing, isn't it?
I think it probably is. But
the fisherman came for your broth on a Friday. That was why we got fish on a Friday.
But he came on a Friday because it was a Catholic thing.
Yeah.
I mean, in our day when we were children, all Catholics refrained from meat on a Friday, which I don't think they do much nowadays, but fish was given out on a Friday.
When I went to university in England, then the college always had like a fish on a Friday, and I was
yes.
like, what is this fish all about? Yes. I don't
even
know if it was a Catholic
thing. Yes. I mean, fishermen can't go everywhere on a Friday. They have to go somewhere other days. We had fish on a Friday when I was young as well, but now it's Wednesday's fish day. So if you're a Catholic now, you've had it.
The fishman, the guy at the door was the fishman for Pitt and Wean. I just, you know, because usually we leave the money behind the storm door. And then, you know, sometimes he comes at night and there, that was him delivering the fish.
Pitt and Wean.
Wednesday
fish,
do you know? Head on, sir. Mother.
Just...
Mum.
Mum or Mammy?
Mum. Mo. Mo, if you want to annoy her. Call her Mo. Yes. She didn't like that.
Mum as well. Although my mum called her, my mum and the aunts and that called their mum, Mam. It's always Mam said this.
That's funny, isn't it? Yeah, that's like what we say back home, Mam. Mam.
Mm-hmm.
Very regal.
Yeah.
let me see. Dundee Park, friends, that's right, that's good.
It's pals. Loads of pals.
Pals, yes, always pals.
Pals or cronies. And quite often with the kids, I'll say, you know, you're away with your cronies, you know, and I know we were Willy, it was like the old guys, but actually, I think teenagers have cronies, you know, so.
Posse, do
you
have that?
No, I don't know. That's a good one.
They were saying that yesterday to me, grief.
Posse?
Just got I think it's a Greek word or something, isn't it? Posse,
grief. Right, I don't know that one at all.
Or your mates.
They talk about their mates.
That's what the kids talk about now, my mate. I'm interested in your pronunciation there, Katrina. She says it sounds a wee bit more like pals, you know, rather than the pals.
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 Yeah, that's you, Benny, you could try it, yes. I know. Recognise that.
It's a very bit. Is that your buddy, they say? Buddy. Buddy's
or friends is what my grandparents would say. Your friends.
Now, do they use that for relatives or for...
Yes, yeah. Mine would. He's a Freena, you know, and that would be... Now, my mother was from Wigtonshire, and I was brought up there. My father from Glenlivet, and I think it was my mother who would say, she's a Freena, the McWilliams, and it would be a relative. And that's the first time I've heard that for a long, long time.
It's like a soft N, isn't it? It's not a Freend.
No, Freens. Friends.
That's true, yes. And that is true for the Alloa area, where all my aunts came from. they would refer to somebody, he said, is he a freen of them, meaning he is related to them. Not that he's friendly with them, which might not be the case if they were relatives.
Is that not rural Aberdeen as well? We've got a friend, I've got a friend who talks about his friends when he talks, means his relatives, and he's from rural Aberdeen somewhere.
Yeah,
there's an interview being done right now there, so I'm
hoping they might be saying that.
Anything
on that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, on to child soft shoes, one for PE,
well,
the right company.
It's only gutties, with a glottal stop. Maybe
gutties,
but usually
gutties. Gutties. Lost my gutties. Mum's not put my gutties in my bag. Or Sanchez, I just called them Sanjus. Personally,
yes, Sanchez. And sometimes sannies nowadays. I hear a lot of children referring to their sannies, meaning sand shoes. Mm-hmm.
Gym shoes, some of them say. Gym shoes. Plimsolls, somebody used to say. Plimsolls.
But they don't want them now.
Is that right? I would use plimsolls as a kid, and now I would say gutties or gutties, sand shoes as a kid, and trainers.
Children don't want Sanchez anymore, they just want trainers.
Do Bernard still wear gotties? Sanchez?
Or do they wear the wee ones?
For PE.
Wee ones, probably for PE. Yeah, no, you were just poor if you had them. And then you used to get plastic sandals as well, the jelly shoes, they call them now. Yeah.
A good leveller, aren't they?
Yeah.
Somebody was telling me this afternoon in Grangemouth that the gotties thing actually comes with the chemical, the material that matches the soles.
Gutta percha. Yeah. Because you get the same in golf. The old golf balls were called gutties because they were made of gutta percha, which is artificial rubber. Yeah.
I thought it was some kind of fishing connection or something.
Nothing at all. No.
Mm-hmm. What about trousers?
Breeks. Just breeks.
Breeks. Mm-hmm.
My husband says your kegs, but I always thought that was your underwear.
That's Yorkshire for underwear, and I don't say it yet.
Well, he says your kegs.
A kegs is another one.
I would say breeks or trousers, but my granny always just said your trouser, because it's only one article of clothing, so it's your trouser.
That's good. Going abroad, your pants, they call them. The kids think that's hilarious. They do. You talk about your pants.
I wouldn't even think of saying, I wouldn't even into my head say trousers, all say breeks. Mm-hmm. And Fox sometimes on the East Coast says trousers rather
trousers.
Trousers.
Yeah. Donald. Mm-hmm.
It's
what? Right,
isn't it?
Very glamorous.
Mm-hmm.
Generally.
Just
your clays.
Clays. Yeah. Or your gear. Clays, it would be for me, nothing else.
Clays or clobber.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I had your good clothes, your glad rags. I had to put that down. And then I said your kit as well. And your gear is what the kids said, your gear. Mm.
So
you
said it was a clobber's military word as well.
Is it?
I don't know if that's the case.
I don't know.
Maybe you used it a lot.
Yeah, but I would definitely say clobber.
Mm-hmm. I had this pair of shoes. My dad used to always come home and speak about putting on his civvy shoes, and I thought that these must be a certain kind of like a lace up them or something. I couldn't work out. So I had a pair of shoes that I called my civvy shoes and never realised it was civilian shoes and anything else. Oh dear. Unwell. Should we start with that?
Seek.
Just that's what I've put, feeling seek. I'm feeling seek or lousy. Feeling lousy.
John last week was hanging, you know, if you're hanging, you know, I had to explain to some people he wasn't going out somewhere and, oh, he's just hanging. Mm-hmm. And Peely Wally, you know, no wheel, sair heed, seek, sair belly sort of thing, you know. I've had these excuses from the kids. I remember a wee girl I taught and she said, I know she was always off, primary three, and she was either seek, sair heed or no wheel, you know, and that was what the notes always said. But I like hanging because, you know, hanging can also refer...
You're just feeling not right.
That's right, you know. Hanging can refer to a property. I remember friends of ours bought a flat over there somewhere, and the plumber who did some work for us said they bought that flat and it's hanging. You know, it's falling to bits.
It's hanging together.
But, yeah.
Well, No, right.
Well, that could be unwell as well. You're just hanging together. But I had Seek as well, and Poorly. And then when Elaine phoned me the night, she says, Fiona's no coming because she's no wheel.
No wheel, yeah.
No, and I thought, oh, no wheel, that's what you would say.
And there's a word we sometimes use in our family because it's a Fife word, and John's from Fife. And now, you know how words spread, so it's okay to use it here. And John's auntie was apparently always touty. You know what touty is? You know, just lots of childhood illnesses, you know, sort of, you know, lots of colds. Aye. Mm-hmm. Touty.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that one used quite a lot. Touty.
Mm-hmm. What about tired?
Tired. My aunties, several of them, used to use the phrase "I'm fair verfochend," or sometimes just "verfochend," and that's always really tired, knackered.
And what about real aunties for
you? Alawa. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say whacked. I'm feeling whacked. Or just puggled.
Puggled?
Fair puggled.
That's a good one. Did you ever get a row for it if you said knackered?
Yes. That wasn't a nice word.
No.
I didn't say knackered, I said whacked. Which isn't really a nice word either, but...
Knackered, cream crackered, puggled, and also fair for folkin, which I heard in California Falkirk. You know, I used to teach there, California Falkirk, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of the staff there, her mother... And I've always used it since, you know, you've got to keep these things going. And it's fair folkin, isn't it? I'm fair for folkin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also a word that they used and I've heard used quite often, not so much tired as lacking energy. You know, somebody without a much fair done. Yeah, I'm fair done, that would do. But so someone without much go in them would be fusionless.
Yeah.
And that, you know that one? And that's the same sort of crowd of folk that was saying that.
Lots of words being a teacher, I'm sure.
Oh, aye.
I just had knackered as well. And wabbit, fair wabbit.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's all.
What about pleased? Oh, you want to put out another one, Duncan, for that? Is that tired or something? No.
It's just this wee Scots dictionary has the word forfochen, spelled forfochen. Mm-hmm. Someone who is forfochen is exhausted or worn out.
Yes. What's
for pleased?
Chuffed, you see, I'm fair chuffed with that. Fair chuffed with that.
Yeah, fair chuffed. It's pleased.
That's a popular one.
And tickled pink or Jim Dandy, you know. That's Jim Dandy or tickled pink.
What's Jim Dandy?
I don't know. Everyone's just Jim Dandy and I have no idea where it comes from, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
We would maybe just say laughing. He's laughing. He's fair laughing. Mm-hmm.
Great. Annoyed.
Beelin. Mm-hmm. Maybe bilin, I don't know, but it's definitely beelin.
Mm-hmm. Beelin, raging. Can't think of any more at the moment.
Maybe.
I've got a scunnered or hacked off. And well, beelin, I would say as well.
Maybe gowping. There's another one too. You know, if your finger is sore, it is gowping. But if somebody is really annoyed, then they are gowping as well.
Louping.
Or louping, yeah. Louping. Jumping.
Mm. Biling mad or blazing mad.
Right, go. Right, thank you so much, Duncan.
Yes.
That's been brilliant.
Sorry, that's right,
but many thanks. I really enjoy your words there. Right. And I'll keep Elaine posted on what's happening and everything. And then she can keep in touch with you.
And especially thanks, Duncan, for doing it. It's such short notice. I know. At 5 o'clock.
I know, that's amazing. Yeah. Enjoy your evening.
Yes. No, I'm working.
Oh, right, okay. Okay, see ya. I'll just pause for a second. Without words like minging and boiling.
I know.
People get their own
stutter.
They've got their own dialect as well, you know.
Yeah. I guess this project will hopefully throw them up. I'm going to Berwick tomorrow morning, first thing, at 10 o'clock. And so I'm hoping to hear a few mixed words there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do hot.
Biling.
Plotting. I'm plotting. But you need to be sweaty as well. I am plotting.
I've got boiling and roasting. And that's it.
It's warm. Mm-hmm. My granny used warm.
I'm melting as well, would be.
Oh, cooking words in.
Yeah.
What about cold?
Cold. What have we got for cold? We've got freezing or chittering And when I was asking the kids, he said, "Oh, it's Baltic," and that was there.
That's a modern word. Yeah,
I'd say so.
Uh-huh. I've got quite an unusual one because my father was brought up in Glenlivet, right at the head of the Braes of Glenlivet, the highest house I think in Britain, 1,200 feet, honestly, and it was always freezing. And he had two words he uses. I nearly got him here tonight, you know, but we're that desperate. He's 82. But he uses two words, and I still use them. I'm foonert. And I think it comes from foundered. You know, you foundered. And you know, you get a real foonin'. So John says it too. You know, if you know that's the way sometimes you get a cold after you've had a real foonin'. And also, it's starvation outside. And do other people use that?
Starving. Yeah.
I'm starving. My father says, and I still say it, I'm starving. Not meaning I'm hungry, but I'm starving. I'm frozen. Mm. So. Starvation.
And starvation. That's good.
Or nippy. It's a bit
nippy
today. It's a nippy day. Good. What's next?
Annoyed, please.
Well,
don't annoy anyone. Mm-hmm. Well,
that's
just been doing the whole thing, isn't it? Gosh, that's very quick. It's much quicker than normal.
Is that it? Well,
we're very good, you know. Is there any other kind of phrases or that locally that you'd really like to share that's really characteristically Stirling, or that you're just fond of yourselves?
Can't think. That's when my mind goes blank. Just the dialect. I can remember when I was at school, and when I was at school, I took secretarial studies, and mostly girls there, and the teacher used to always say, "Girls, girls, that awful Stirling accent, pronounce your I's." Because we all used to say Stirling. I don't know, but it must have come out as a "oh" instead of a "eh" when you were speaking. So.
Is that in Stirling you got the
title for it? Yeah, at the high school. Used to say, "That Stirling accent, pronounce your I's."
I can't think of any actual Stirling phrases.
Have you ever had bother being understood?
Not really bother being understood. I did have a parent asking which island I came from once. He thought I had a very Highland accent when I came here at first. But no real problems being understood, I don't think.
I don't think so. I've got a few stories with the kids, you know, and their words. A word that, you know, I think is a Stirling word, although everybody uses it, and it's statutory. You know about a statutory? And it's quite funny, because all, you know, all the Bridgevallen folk have got what they call a statutory, which is the modern, you can statute. And it's quite wrong, because it's not the right derivation at all. And so, like, you've got the deck, or you've got, a chimney, of course, and you're all sitting out in the statutory having your tea. But in actual, Mrs. Macaree across the road told me that a statutory was actually, like, in the Albert Hall, there was a dance, and you had a young man that you sort of kind of fancied, you hoped he would take you to the statutory. And it was the place where you sat out for the dancing. And it wasn't entered, because nobody in Scotland in their right mind would sit out, and, you know, at any time. In Clive Ramsay's, they actually sit out in November. They've got heaters above their heads, you know. But Mrs. Macaree says, no, it's none of that at all. It's actually, you sit out and hopefully get a snog from the dancing.
That's like a conservatory nowadays, isn't it?
Uh-huh. But it's actually outside. I mean, people are actually mad enough now in Scotland to actually sit outside.
Patio. Give it the best shot.
Yeah. We have a patio. Only for us, it's too windy to ever use the patio. But it looks nice. Can't use it. What I find in school is the children all use "I" and "no," which I don't mind at all. I'd never, unless it's spoken really insolently, I would never correct "I" or "no," because that's the way they always speak. You know, some people get very uptight about, you know, the word is "yes," but "I" is fine.
Are you encouraged in school to use local dialect, or discouraged? Or
only since Elaine came. Only since Elaine started at the school. Not so much local dialect, but old Scots words. We use old Scots words for things like our groups. And the children, they don't actually recognise the words, but they like to use them, they like the sounds of them. And my spelling groups are birds, of the spugs and the jucks. So I give them the words on the first day and tell them to go home and find out. And very few of them come back knowing what the words mean. And every year, the first group always choose spug. They just love the sound of the word. You know, a spug, a sparrow.
I do. I've got the pee the beds, which always shocks the parents to the core. You know, you can be in the pee the beds, you know, but of course there's great competition to be in the pee the beds and the ball heeds, you know, and the chanty rastlers, which is a great word, much better than chancer. It's a word of my father's. And a chanty rastler was a trusted prisoner like an Uncle Tom, and he sort of cozied up with the management so much that he got to empty the chanties. And so, you know, it's a much better word than chancer, a chanty rastler. And now my kids use it. And I've got ball heater, I say that, and scunners and everything, and it's just great, you know. You can say, right, there's far too much noise coming from the pee the beds, and they love it, you know.
Yeah, great.
Of course, that's a name for a, is that not a name for a dandelion? Yeah, yeah, pee the bed. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, do your parents, if they felt don't, they offend any of this or no?
Yeah, well, my daughter took part in the Scots language project when they went to Parliament. She was in, not in Aline's class, but she took part in that. So, but they do speak slang sometimes. But I say, what was that you were saying? Speak properly. I must admit, I still correct them.
Well, I think, look what Matthew Fitch was saying for that language programme is, as long as Burns came, you know, with the place of Scots, the Scots is one accent, yeah, one total language, and then the English is another language altogether, and you can use either or both depending, yeah, on who you're talking to.
Yeah.
But he said he was going into schools and Burns were all sitting with their, you know, hands covering their mouths. Really bad self-esteem about the way they spoke.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, Matt and Burns realised it was legitimate as well, but everything has their place.
Yeah, well, they're quite confident about the way they speak, but yeah, you do tend to say, I think it's because you've had it said to you, speak properly, you know. Mm-hmm. And it just the way they are.
Yeah.
And a word that I love, and I hadn't heard it in this context at all, I don't know if you'll have heard it, but I was teaching locally on supply and a wee boy opened his peace box and he said, oh great, I've got a hardy. And I said, what? It's a hardy. And because I thought this was a hardy, but it was the heel of a loaf. I liked that a lot, and he really liked this hardy. And I'll tell you one or two more stories about the kids. Well, we had, you know, in schools, I mean, this is about 2 or 3 years ago when the sort of shame of the school dinners was first exposed, you know, and we were trying to get the kitchen sorted out, and you know what it's like, consultation, school board and kitchen people from Stirling Council and all sorts consulting, you know, and the consultation process wasn't really going to the head teacher's liking, and we were out in the field, my class was out in the field, and she came out to me and said, Elaine, I need someone from primary seven to come and tell them like it is, you know, sort of get them telt. And I said, well, there's Paul, would you please go and say to the school board and all these high hegians, you know, tell them, because the kids have been moaning forever about the school dinners. And he went in, and Jill, the head teacher, said that everyone's just kind of in awe of him, because the words were lent a greater truth because the way he said them, because he was just, he's a clever boy, and he just spoke them. And he said, well, the stuff that's meant to be hot is cold, and the stuff that's meant to be cold is hot, and the trays are all minging. And the next day we got a dishwasher and a new fridge. And you know, and it was all sorted, and I really put it down to that. And another one, every year the primary sevens do a Burns supper. And it's a big deal and it's good. And with this kind of recalcitrant boy called and I was trying to get him on side and everything, you know, and I offered him the position of, you know, saying the address to the haggis. And this was 3 years ago, and he said to me, I write. And it was the first time I'd heard I write, and I thought it was so eloquent, you know, I write. And I said, well, you know, just, you know, you should do it. And he went away, and he came in the next day, and he amazed me, because he was never, you know, very forthcoming. And he said, my grandpa kens that poem. And it was the penetration of the Burns into the culture that I really liked, because we know that family, you know, and you wouldn't have imagined necessarily. And I said, well, look, you just say the poem, you know, two verses, and you get to slash the haggis, you know, is the sort of payoff, you know. So, and it was great because on the day of the Burns supper, the kids all met me at the, you know, at the gate of the car park, and they were shouting at me, Mrs. in his school uniform, and it's the first time since primary one. And that's true. And so in he came in his school uniform, but he actually had something sort of like Burberry-ish or something over the top, but his mother had sent him to school, new shoes, the whole lot. I was really sweating about it. And it came to the Burns supper, and just before, you know, they have the haggis, before they do all the speeches, they had the haggis and everything. And of course, every year, somebody like for their street cred, they have to ping food about the place, you know, the haggis and everything. And so he was, you know, and one or two, and I thought, I better stop before it gets out of hand. You know, he's had his street cred. So I said, stop that. And he turned to the immortal memory, Douglas, and he said, he pung some too.
He pung some.
And he said the haggis, and it was great, really great.
Was that, I used to call it haggis when we always called it rabbi.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Here comes the rabbi. Mm-hmm. We never ever called it haggis. I used to think it was rabbi burns all chopped up that we were eating. That's terrible, the things you think about when you're a kid. I used to say, I wonder why they call it rabbi. It's your culture, eh? Robert Burns.
Honestly, I was doing an immortal memory, and you know, it was just for friends locally, and that wasn't the best. I didn't, you know, I had never done one before, but I thought, probably I need to tell this story of it because, you know, it means a lot to me. But I did not expect them to fall apart the way they did when I said he pung some tea, you know, and that was it. The rest of this, you know, no bother. They were kind of on side then. I'm just thinking of some words at Wallace High School that you'll probably have heard. Skanky. Yeah, everything's skanky. A great word because, you know, you can connect with the kids. Like, you know, I don't want any skanky writing, you know, none of that skanky rubbish. And scabionic. That's scabionic. And minging has developed to ming-mong. So my girls say, oh, ming-mong, mum. You know. You know, I don't know. I presume it's from minging.
What's scabionic?
As in sort of horrible, scabby, scabby, scabionic.
That's
kind of mix of all the names. Aye, yeah. Scabionic. A story about when we're doing the Scots Dictionary, the kids all brought in words, and then the radio came. We're forever on the radio in St Ninian's Primary, and the BBC came to talk to the kids about their words, and his word was shugly. And I remember him saying when he was interviewed, and do you have a well-to-do and
well-spoken.
And well-spoken, as it were. Oh, I think the secret in a bit is well-spoken. And was asked, you know, his word, and he said, it's shugly. And the interviewer naturally said, and so what does shugly mean? Oh, wobbly and things. And so, do you use the word shugly much? And he said, well, no, really. Not really, he said. We don't have much shugly stuff in my house, but in our holiday home in Fort William, everything's shugly. And then his father was coming up the road, up the M6, at 10 o'clock at night, and it was 5 Live. And he heard coming over the radio, and he didn't know about this. And he heard Liam talking about the holiday house in Fort William with everything being shugly. So I like that. How are we doing? Are we all right?
Ian's West Owen, actually, if you're happy with it. Can I just get you once more to just tell me what your name is, where you bide, and how your accent... Oh, that's too complicated. Where you bide, that'll do.
I'm Katrina. I live in Thornhill, 10 miles outside of west of Stirling. I teach in St Ninian's. I've been teaching there for about 16 years.
I'm Elaine. I also teach in St... I'll start again. I'm Elaine. I teach in St Ninian's Primary School, and I live in Bridge of Allen, where I've lived for 18 years.
I'm Sandra, and I'm the admin assistant at St Ninian's Primary School, and I live in Stirling. I was born in Stirling.